Welcome to Global River Church's Teaching of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
So if you'll pull out your bulletin, we have both the Spanish version and the English version. This morning, it's so good to see this generation here, right? Yeah? We're proud of you. Sometimes people don't understand why you flag and worship, but it says in Psalm 20, lift up your banner before the Lord. Every tribe had a marking, right? So we lift up our banner, we worship God. I love this story. One time we were in a group of different churches, and one of our young dancers got up, and she started just dancing in the middle of worship, and a lot of the people said, what is she up to? She didn't know any better. She didn't know any better. That's how you worship God. She was just so free to be worshiping in God. And so this morning, I really want to... It is my heart that this generation understands water baptism and fire baptism. And then we're going to have an opportunity. We want to lay hands on all those who would like it. We know we have adults here. But first I want to talk to you about, first of all, what is water baptism? Anybody know? Let me get a microphone here. Levi, what is water baptism?
I've done it a couple times, but I don't really know what it is. I think I get the gist. It's where you go under the water with all your sins, and then when you come back up, you're washed.
You got it, right? So, and when did I baptize you? It was a while back, right? It was when we were in a tent, right? Your dad and everything. So you got it right. It's baptism. It's when you go under the water, and what you're actually saying is, when I go under the water, I want to leave all my sins behind. In fact, as the scripture says, be baptized and repent. And when you come out of the water, now when it's not baptized, I had one of our children say, I'm getting baptized. I said, okay. Well, it's really baptized, but it's close. Remember, when you're all dirt, when you guys are playing in the mud and dirt at your house, right? Mama says, come on in here, get in the tub, right? And you get washed on the outside. When you're baptized, you get washed on the outside and on the inside. And so when you go under, what you're actually saying is, I want all this stuff of my past when I've been angry and selfish and sad, I want to leave that in the tank. And when I come out of that, I am a new creature in Christ. So baptism is really, in fact, we call it the sacrament of baptism. But there's actually, when all the disciples, first of all, what's a disciple? Anybody know what a disciple is? What's a disciple?
A disciple is someone who follows Jesus.
Follows Jesus? Are you a disciple? Yeah, you're a disciple. In fact, so we know that a follower of Jesus is a disciple, someone who follows after Jesus. But Jesus, in all four Gospels, he says this, if you want to be my follower, here's what you got to do. You got to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Now, deny self, that means like, I want to do it my way, but I'm going to do it Jesus' way anyway. So that's where I want to do it my way. We all do. We're selfish, self-centered sometimes, but I want to do it his way. But then it says, take up your cross and follow me. What does that mean? What does it mean to take up a cross? Why would you carry a cross? Now, some of us, right, we wear a cross. I wear my cross right close to my heart to remind me. But we have you notice Jesus is not on this cross, right? He's resurrected. He's not here anymore. The tomb's empty. He is, now that I believe in him, Jesus is right here. But I remind myself wearing this cross, I have to follow. If I'm a follower, I got to follow Jesus. And when he says, take up your cross, it says, you better die to yourself. The stuff, cross represents where Jesus died, right? Jesus, actually, he knew he had to come to the cross, but he didn't want to because the cross was painful. And he actually asked his father three times, Father God, can I not do this? And his father said, but that's why you came. We have to. He was in the garden praying. I don't want to do this. It's going to be really painful. They're going to nail me to a cross. But Jesus did it anyway. Why? Because he thought of you and he thought of me. So we have to take up our cross. That means every day when you're walking through life, there's going to be things you want to do. I'm not doing that. The world's doing that. They're looking at movies. They're looking at things. They're being angry. They're being hateful. They're being... I don't want that. I'm going to take my cross, and I'm going to say, I'm not doing that. I'm different now because I'm a follower. And Jesus said, unless you say, deny yourself and take up your cross, then you're not even worthy to be mine. Whew. So we see that in the Great Commission, he tells us in Matthew 28, the first bullet there, go and make disciples. So when we look at Amy and we look at our leaders, Lance, right, Sam and Sue, they're actually want to equip you to become disciples, and they do such a good job. Vacation Bible School. Did we have fun last year with Vacation Bible School? It's going to be big. It's going to be keepers of the kingdom this time. And so we want to make disciples so the next generation, when Pastor Tom's long and gone, some of you will be preaching and sharing and business leaders, and you'll be dancers, you'll be musicians, you'll be the ones. They'll say, and I hope you'll say, I remember there was a lady who taught me. Her name was Amy. She taught me things about Jesus. My wife and I, we had a long time ago when I worked for General Electric in New York, we became the youth leaders in the Christian Missionary Alliance Church. Years, and there was one boy in that class. Oh, my gosh. He was the one that we struggled with a lot, right, Mama Ginny? And it was like 25 years later, I happened to visit back to New York, and I'm in Ace Hardware. And this young man walks up and goes, Tom? Tom Hauser? I go, yeah. Like, I don't know anybody here anymore. He goes, do you remember me? I go, no. I was 16. I was in your youth group. And he told me his name. I go, oh, yeah, I remember you. How you doing? He goes, I want you to know, this was a quote, you impacted my life. I'm like, wow. What? The one who frustrated me so much, you're shaking your head, Sam, you know that one? A little bit, sometimes. And so this is part of that. So we want to make disciples of this next generation, followers of Jesus, denying self and taking up your cross. Now, what is, this is an incredible story. Why was Jesus baptized? Look at the second bullet down there, significance of Jesus' baptism. A lot of churches don't preach this. I've been in 12 different churches, many denominations, elders in other churches, and I don't remember this message being preached often. There is a water baptism, and there is a Holy Spirit baptism. And Jesus demonstrated. Now, why would the Son of God, who didn't have any sin, right? Jesus never sinned, and yet he knew everything about you and me. He was tempted to sin, but he never did. And so why would the sinless Son of God have to go in the tank for his sins to be washed away if he never sinned? Because he wanted to model for us something. And John, remember John the Baptist, the one who was baptizing everybody in the Jordan River? So Jesus comes up to John and says, John, you need to baptize me. John goes, whoa, I can't even undo your sandals. You should baptize me. Jesus said, no, John, it's important that you do it now this way. So as soon as Jesus goes in the water, here's what happens. This is really incredible. As soon as he goes under the water and he comes out of the water, the scripture says the heavens were torn, actually rent. This is a Hebrew word, torn wide open. And the Father speaks and says, this is my Son. I'm well pleased in him. Can you imagine the Father's voice to all those who are like at the Jordan River, like, whoa, whoa. Then it even gets better. John sees this like a dove. Everybody know what a dove looks like, right? It can be white or brown. The dove comes down and it sits like a, it comes down. John sees it and it falls on Jesus. And John said, the one that I saw, the Father told me, the one that I saw the Holy Spirit fall on, he's the Messiah. Yes. What's Messiah mean? The Christ. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's no one like him, we sang, right? So here's what happens. Jesus goes under the water. His Father speaks. Everyone who's there, the disciples are like, whoa. And then they see it. Guess what? Something happened at that moment to Jesus that was different. And it happens to us when we get water baptized and spirit baptized. Do you know that Jesus didn't even start his ministry until he was water baptized and spirit baptized? Like, wow, if the Son of God had to do that, how do we think we can do ministry without that? I was like, and here's what happens. In fact, it says in this scripture, we see in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. Let's turn there. In Luke 3, Jesus comes out of the water, and it says the Father speaks, and then the Holy Spirit falls on him. And then in chapter 4 of Luke 4:1, it says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned to the Jordan River, and he was led by the Spirit to face off against the devil. Jesus didn't start his ministry. I don't know why we don't preach this more in church. How could you begin ministry? How could you be a believer and face off against demonic spirits and darkness and be able to deny yourself and follow him unless you're born again, unless you're spirit and water baptized? So if Jesus doesn't face off against the devil until he does that, I think it's real important that we get water baptized and spirit baptized. And we see that. You mean that Jesus wasn't full of the Holy Ghost before? He's the Son of God, born as the perfect Son. But it says here, he's now full of the Spirit. Because what did Jesus do? We get this from Philippians. Jesus laid down his power. Philippians 2. He became a servant, even unto death. He laid down his God power. God's very powerful, right? He could beat the devil in a heartbeat, right? Oh, it'd be over. But he lays down his power as God so that he could be fully God and fully man, now full of the Holy Ghost, so he could show us, you can do this in my power. Because one of the scriptures he tells us is, when you get full of the Holy Spirit, you get power to become a witness. I'm going to tell you a story what happened to me. So I've been a believer a long time, but I didn't always have the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I was in different denominations, and they didn't always preach all that. I know when we're born again, you get the Spirit of God, right? The first time you ask Christ into your heart, you know Jesus came into your heart, right? And you get the Spirit of God, but there's more. I'm going to just give you some scriptures. So Pastor Tom, I go to Brazil with Ginny and Katie. There's like 7 or 8 from the church. We go to Brazil because I was reading the Bible, and the Bible says in Mark 16 that these will be signs that follow a believer. If you're a follower or believer, there are 3 signs out of Mark 16. Cast out demons. I'm like, I'm about that. Number 2 is you'll be able to handle snakes or deadly things without harm. That's a spiritual thing. And he also says you'll be able to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Didn't that happen this week? Didn't you pray for a lady in another church and the tumor disappeared in her breast? Right? Prayed for a woman who was here last week who ended up going to the hospital, called Ron, said, pray for me, and God showed up. We can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so I'm reading the Bible and I'm like, I'm not having that happen. I didn't quit my job from GE after 25 years to not have the ability to do what he says as a follower. So I prayed, Lord, help. He goes, right away, he said, I want you to go on a mission trip. The first mission trip to Brazil, my friend Randy came and he said, we're going to Brazil. And Mama Ginny and Katie and 6 others from the church, we went. Pat's husband Phil went. And we're there. And the first night, my friend Randy said, before we go into the meeting, I want to pray for you that God will give you power. I said, yeah, I want that. So we're on the top of the hotel, like on the 17th or 18th floor, and we're praying for one of our team guys, Tony. We're all in a circle. He's in a chair. We're praying. And all of a sudden, I'd asked for power. All of a sudden, whoa! And I fell backwards, and I started spinning. I skinned my elbow. I broke my glasses. I'm like, these are titanium glasses. They're not supposed to break. I did a face plant. I got rug burns. I'm like, this is what the... this is power? He goes, yeah, I need to show you something. So I'm like, okay. All I know is when I got up from that, I felt different. And that night, we get invited to go to a church. It's called Agua Viva. And it's a really, really poor church. When we drive the bus down past us, there are houses built with tin roofs and almost no walls, dirt all over the place, garbage everywhere. And here's this church. We pull in there, and they're worshiping in there. There's people worshiping. I'm like, oh, I walked in there. I could feel God right then in the worship. And I just started to cry. I said, Lord, these people love you. They may not have much food. They don't have much things, but they love God. And I want to be where they love God. And I'm there, and I'm up on the stage next to my friend Randy. And all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say to me, pray for everybody who's really sick. I'm like, is that God? So I turned, Randy, I think we're supposed to pray for the people that are dying and sick. He says, everybody listen, stop, pastor got a word. I'm like, everybody who's really, really sick and dying, come with his team and go to the back room. I'm like, no, Randy, you got to come with us. We don't know what we're doing. He goes, no, I got to preach. We go to the back room, and there are people really, really sick. They looked really bad. There was a woman had a tumor as big as a softball on her neck. A woman comes in. Mama Jenny will tell you this. It's my book. Now, Mama came in with me. This woman came over, and her leg was crippled, and it was turned like this. And she sat down in front of Mama Jenny. Now, I'm praying for a woman who her husband had just died of AIDS, and that's a blood disease. And she was really mad at God, and she was mad at her husband. And she thought maybe her children had got it, and she thought maybe she had got the virus too. So I was praying for her, and I got finished, and Mama said, come here. We sat down. Her name was Priscilla. We sat down. I said, Priscilla, what do you want? She goes, I want God to heal me. When I was 1 year old, I got cursed by a Macumba witch. My father made fun of a next-door neighbor, and that man went and paid a witch to curse me at 1 year old, and I got crippled. And I've had surgeries, and God, I want God to heal me. And I said, whoa. Now, this is big for me. I'm like, okay. So Mama's there, we're there. I said, would you be willing to forgive the witch? Would you be willing to forgive your father? How about the man who cursed you? Yeah, I want to forgive. How about the people who made fun of you because you were a crippled little girl in school and you can't play sports? You can't do anything. He goes, yeah, I'll forgive them. So we prayed. She forgave. I said, you're a believer, right? Yes, I have Jesus in my heart. I said, can I get rid of this witchcraft stuff? I don't know much about this, but Bible says I can cast out a demon. And I said, in the name of Jesus, witchcraft, come out. And it was dramatic. Mama doesn't like it when I do what we saw, but it was evident that there was something dark. Remember where the blood covers what Liliana had on? The blood of Jesus takes care of the darkness. In that light, Jesus' name is powerful. His name is powerful. You ever get scared, you call on Jesus. We have seen it happen. We have seen it. Everyone, there are people here. That name, Jesus, is above every name. There is every demon in hell will bow to his name. So here's what happened. So we're praying. Lord, and every time I would say, well, what about unforgiveness? She'd go, ah, and that, all of a sudden she felt like, whew. I said, Holy Spirit, can you come now and fill her up with you? And all of a sudden, the peace of God came over her. I'm like, wow. And then she turned to Mama and I, and she said, I want to walk. And we kind of looked at you like, okay. And as we became walkers on either side of her, and as she walked, her leg turned, and her back went up. And I'm a nuclear engineer. In those days, my brain is too much in charge. And I'm like, I don't even know if I'm awake right now. I prayed I'd see power, but I've never seen power like that before. Out of the mouth of the power that came because of Jesus, not because of me and because of Mom, because we came and used the name of Jesus that is above every name. He's above witchcraft. He's above hatred. He's above anger. He's above sickness. He's above all that, right? And so we're there like, and here, Phil, my best friend, Phil Walls, he's there, Pat's husband, and he's looking over there, and all of a sudden, they see the woman walking, and my team's praying for people with sickness. There's people there that are really, really sick. They had tumors in their breasts. Phil goes over, there's a woman with that gigantic tumor. I'm not kidding you. It was as big as this on her neck. And Phil goes over and says, in the name of Jesus, go. That thing disappeared. And I'm like, the whole team is looking at it like, all of a sudden the word goes out to the people that are in the sanctuary with where Randy's preaching. He goes, God has showed up in there. And just screams of 300 people praising God all at once. Miracles broke out. That church has grown to thousands of people in Brazil now. I met the pastor later. It was incredible, the power of the name of Jesus. So what's the point, Pastor, here? Jesus modeled for us, you need to be water baptized, even though he was sinless, and you need to be power baptized. So what's some scriptures like that? Well, what about the rest of these scriptures? Turn over your handout. Who can be baptized? Well, it turns out, anyone who believes. If you're a believer in Jesus, you can be water baptized. And if you want more, you can be spirit baptized because they are different. Let me give you some examples. I love this one in Acts chapter 8. You can turn there, but Acts chapter 8, let's begin in look at verse 14. Acts 8:14. This is really a great story that Jesus tells, or actually Paul tells us. There was a group of Samaritans. They were actually, you talk about racial issues and injustice. The Samaritans were half-breeds. They were half Jews and half Gentiles. And the Jews didn't like them. They actually hated them. You weren't even allowed to eat with them or be in their house. Or you were in big trouble. You weren't allowed to go to you would be told not to go to church if you hung out with them. Now that's not right. Well, persecution comes to the church. Philip, who used to work in their House of Mercy ministry, he's not an apostle, he's a follower. He goes to Samaria because the Jews won't go there and they won't kill him like they killed Stephen, his friend. Stephen was one of the friends in House of Mercy that worked with Philip, and they killed him. Paul killed him, Saul killed him, because he was a worshiper of Jesus. Like what? So they leave town, he goes to Samaria because the Jews won't go there, and Philip's there, and he starts preaching to regular Gentile people like us. And people are starting to get saved. They're getting water baptized. They're getting healed. Deliverances happen. It's like, so you read that in Acts chapter 8. It's like beginning in verse 4. The believers were scattered at that time, and Philip went to Samaria. This is an example of what other ones were doing. They were eager, and people heard the gospel, and they got saved. And then Philip says, well, you need to get water baptized. Well, Peter and John, who are the really big disciples of Jesus, they hear what's going on. They say, well, let's go see what's going on there. So they go to the town, and they meet with the Gentiles there, and they realize these guys have believed Jesus. There's miracles breaking out. They've been water baptized, but they're not spirit baptized. Look at this. This is where, I don't know where denominations don't preach this. I'm just trying to not be critical, but it says, look at verse 15. When Peter and John had come down there, they prayed that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, they're believers already. Look, verse 16. For as yet, the Holy Spirit had not come upon or fallen upon them. They'd only been baptized in the name of Jesus. So they were believers who had been water baptized, but the Holy Spirit hadn't fallen down on them. Remember what happened to Jesus? He goes under the water, the Father speaks, and the Holy Spirit falls down on him. See, the Holy Spirit is in you for you. He's on you for others. And you need the Holy Spirit to fall down on you. So what happens a lot of times when people go in the water, it's like they get water baptized, but then they also want to be spirit baptized. And we see this. You can see it in Acts chapter 10. There was a Roman officer named Cornelius, and he loved God. It was rare. He took care of Jewish people, and he had a vision, and he saw Peter, and he said, Peter came to his house, and Peter preached to his whole group of people who were there, and the Holy Spirit fell. This is in Acts chapter 10, and this is the first time Gentiles in fullness, they hear the message in Acts chapter 10, and the Holy Spirit fills them. So here's what happened to me. I was a believer. I was hungry. I went to Brazil. I asked for more from my leader, and when we prayed, the Holy Spirit came on me. And when I got Holy Spirit to come on me, I got a little bolder. I was like, and I got a word. I heard from God better. Let's pray for the sick. Now, I was scared. I'll be honest with you. Like, I don't want to step out and do that. What if I mess this up? God will be with you in your boldness. We need a bold generation of children that are empowered with God, right? So here, baptism is a symbol. I've been married to this lady, how long now? 53 years, June, right? See, I have a ring on that I've worn for 53 years. The day we were married, I put this on. Now, this doesn't make me married, but it's a symbol. When you see somebody with a gold or silver ring like this on their left hand, which is close to their heart, that means I'm betrothed, I'm in covenant with her. Doesn't make me married, but it tells everybody, oh, he's a married man or she's a married woman. Baptism is the same kind of a symbol. Baptism doesn't make you a follower, but when you go in the water, what you're telling everybody who's going to be here watching this, if you're being water baptized today, oh, that's a follower of Jesus. That person went under the water. We know now they are marked and following Jesus. I'm getting electrocuted right now. So it says, what happens is the Holy Spirit, just like the Father said, that's mine. Let me tell you a quick story of what happened in Mozambique. So after the Brazil, we went to Mozambique. Mozambique is a country in Africa. You got South America, Swaziland, and then you got Mozambique, and it's a poor, poor country. Well, one of our missionaries is there with his wife, Kent and Andrea. You'll see them. He plays the drums when he comes back. You pray for them. So we're with them. We went into the bush. He says, you got to go with us into the dark jungle of Africa in Mozambique because there are people there that love God, but nobody's ever come. So we got in four trucks. We drive 6 hours, right, Mama, into this place. There have never been trucks or car. There's no roads. Where you going in stream? We get there. As we pull in, they have grass huts. They have grass roofs. They have mud walls. It's a village. And there's all these people that live in this village. We're 6 hours from the middle of nowhere. These people come out and say, the Christians are here. We laid out, we got on a flatbed of our truck. We preached in three different languages, Makua, Shangana, Portuguese. And a whole bunch of young people got saved. And I said, how many of you want to get baptized tomorrow? Nobody raised their hand. I'm like, I turned to our translator. I said, he says, they don't know what baptism means. They don't even have Bibles. I said, oh. So I explained what water baptism was. 10 hands went up. I want to get water baptized. So I turned to the pastor Miguel and I said, so we're going to baptize where? He goes, we have a river right down from the village. This is a river. It's like half the size of this sanctuary. This is a big river. It's running. I said, okay, I'm going to get in the water with these 10 people and baptize them. Are there anything, are there snakes or alligators there? He goes, crocodiles. I go, crocodiles? I'm going to be in the water. He goes, yeah, no problem. We watch. Watch what? Watch me get eaten? This means something. You know, there's no crocodiles in that tank, praise God. But can you imagine being water baptized and you got to worry about what else is in this water with you? I got to tell you, this picture's of me getting in that water. And I'm like, okay, you keep watching. Here's the rest of the story. We baptized 10 of them. It would have been more, but because there were people of another faith there that would actually harm them if they got baptized. So only 10 of them got baptized. I heard this year, or late last year, several of those people that we helped build a church and baptized, they were actually killed for their faith. They were martyred for their faith. 3 of the 10 that we water baptized were killed for Jesus. They refused to say, I will never deny Jesus. Talk about deny yourself and take up your cross. I think it's harder sometimes to live for Jesus than it is maybe to die for Jesus. So we've been feeding those teams because of the people who've come from where this persecution's happening. So this is not a game. This is something that's really, really important. So you understand now, right? All you followers, When we want to follow Jesus, born again, I want to be water baptized so you wash me and cleanse me from the inside. But how many want power from Jesus? Come on, you want power from Jesus? I do. Why? Because here's what he told us. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Don't leave Jerusalem. Jesus says this. Now, Jesus is resurrected from the dead, right? We just had Resurrection Sunday, Easter, right? We just saw resurrection. Jesus comes up and he says, don't be afraid. I want you to stay here until my Father sends you a gift. How many of you like gifts? Come on, everybody likes gifts, right? If you want a gift from the Father God, you know what he says? You got to have Holy Spirit. Acts 1, chapter 4 says, don't leave the place where they're killing followers until my Father sends you this gift. Then you know what happens? Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this, when that Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to receive power to be my witness. That way you can pray for a crippled person or people that have cancer, those who are sick. You can pray not because you have power. He's got the power. But he wants to use you as a vessel of power, right? So this is why we preach, you got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with power, because we want to be witnesses. How many of you have ever witnessed to somebody else? You ever share the gospel with somebody at school? Right? Yeah. Got to do it. Do it all the time. Come with us. Go to the, take it to the streets. So I want us to see here that this baptism is a symbol. It's a purposeful plan. It's biblical. Can you be fire baptized more than once? Like people in here would say, yeah, I got baptized. When I back in Brazil, I got baptized. Guess what? You can be baptized in fire again. In fact, it's a good idea that you pursue and seek after. I want more. How much would you want? I want as much as the Lord will give me. That's good. We know from Acts chapter 4, the disciples are baptized with fire in Acts 2. Pentecost is coming, May 24th. 49 days from Resurrection Sunday every year is called Pentecost. You know what happened on Pentecost? The fire fell in Jerusalem, and all of the people that were present, they looked like they had fire of tongue fires on their head. How'd you like to see that someday? Pastor Thomas' hair on fire, maybe. Well, not really, but, you know, looked like it, right? And they started speaking in tongues. They were, like, filled with power, and all of a sudden, everybody got all upset about tongues. You look at Acts 2, these people must be drunk. They're like, when I fell down and my glasses broke, they'd say, well, you think God would do that? All I can tell you is look at the fruit. God will do things. And so even then, we see. So Acts chapter 2, fire falls, and then they go and do. But Acts chapter 4, they're filled again. Those disciples that followed Jesus, they got filled again. And you can be filled again. And so, Lord, we just thank you this morning as we conclude this message about water baptism and fire baptism. I want all the followers of Jesus to understand we need the power of God in our lives. You can't do this. You children, you youth, you're under attack like we didn't face. The internet, the stuff that you're going through, the temptation to be immoral, to be unclean, to do things that, to do drugs or alcohol, the world is after you. And we want to be ones that said no. We want to stand in that place. What Amy and Lance and these leaders are doing is you got to be different. Don't do what the crowd tells you to do. That pressure to do something, look at stuff you shouldn't look at. Watch movies you shouldn't look at. Don't go there. Be different. And why? Because I have to deny myself. Just like any of the adults in this room, all of us have to make a choice. Choices have effects. Many of us, we've walked with people who started doing drugs too early and getting addicted, started following things that they shouldn't have followed. They now come in here and they're addicted and they're broken. Marriages that have failed, sickness because their bodies have been made sick from doing things they shouldn't do. Your choices have an effect on people. And when you grow up to be a parent, you're going to want your children to walk in the right way. So make a good choice. Don't don't make a choice that, and when the world tells you, oh, stop being such a square, you got to do this. What are you, a Jesus follower? Yeah, I am. And guess what? I sure hope you are. And then witness to them. And even if they tell you that you're going to be rejected and we don't want to be your friend, Jesus said you can expect that. But you got a friend in Jesus that will never leave you and never forsake you. Amen? Amen. All right. Amen. Praise God. So, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to invite the worship team. We have a whole bunch of people that are going to get water baptized today. So our worship team is going to come, and they're going to play some music in the background. I need one of our lady volunteers, or voluntold, to keep the record of who's getting baptized. We want to get names, addresses, phone numbers, and emails. Huh? Oh, I got a voluntold. Praise the Lord. That we want, we're going to send you a certificate or family certificate of what you did, because this is really an important moment. We have a lot of witnesses here that are going to watch what's happening. And when I thank our team who really worked hard to put together this tank. You'll notice the tank has got some, we have warm water in it. And the warm water came from our hot water tank. But it's a little rusty in there. So you're going to get some iron, but it's going to be okay. We figured iron's better than cold water because we have people like, oh, Lord, have mercy. So I want to ask if those that are getting baptized, if you'll kind of come up here. And then here's how we'd like to do it. We're going to have, there's a statement in, when they said, be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we want to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so you can just line up right here, guys. It's so awesome to have so many. Yeah, just kind of make a straight line. And Mary Esther, before you go in the water and get all wet, Mary Esther's going to get the name and phone number and all that, right? So let's, here you go, start right here. Yeah. And so I've asked Pastor Lisa to help me with this as well. We got some others. And mom and dads, uncles, aunts, friends, if you want to get a picture of this, it's really awesome to get a picture of your loved one. You can kind of, we'll keep the front of the tank open, and you can get a picture of them going in the water. And so we thank you. Yeah. Oh, you can go change. Yeah, and there is time to change. Yeah, no bikinis, please. No Speedos or no bikinis, but you can go change, and we want to keep this modest. Praise the Lord. We do have some towels as well. So just kind of line up here so we can get your name and emails and thank the Lord for what he's doing. So if you all would be praying right now in Jesus' name, that this would be such an impactful moment. We realize that baptism is not only biblical, but it is so spiritual. It can be a life-changing event. So we thank God for that. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are. Join our family at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.